Sky Pictures, a division of British Sky Broadcasting, presents, in association with the Irish Film Board and the Northern Ireland Film Commission, a Samson Films production, in association with Hot Film. Spermatozoa are shown swimming.
We have survived on this planet for 5 million years. Today, we face extinction. Male sperm counts are now in freefall. The average man now producing less than half the sperm their grandfathers did in their prime.
Now inside one of the body's labyrinthine passages.
Are we witnessing the beginning of the end for the human race? Are we doomed? Every day I ask myself this question. Where might we find a Superman, a new Adam, to reverse the decline of the fertile man?
The Most Fertile Man in Ireland, voiced by Phil Moyes on behalf of MCS Agency. Daytime, a fresh-faced, red-headed young man in pyjamas thrusts open his bedroom window. The postman.
Valentine's? Don't talk to me about bloody Valentine's. A cynical collaboration between chocolate manufacturers and flower shop owners to maximise profits in the otherwise lean financial month of February.
Any post?
For your ma and Raymond. Love? Don't talk to me about love. Money? That's what makes a world go round.
The red-headed young man delivers the mail.
Morning. Raymond, some cards, big brother. Too bad, Eamon. Too bad. Do you see, your problem is, you're just too sensitive. Women today are confused. They've got all this liberation crap, but they still want a hunk on their arm. Isn't that right, baby?
David is a butch-looking girl.
See, that's the problem. Women think they're men, and men think they should be women. The whole world's upside down.
Eamon follows his brother from the bedroom to their kitchen, where a woman in a floral dressing gown, cigarette in mouth, is cooking a fry-up.
You've got to be a real man, Eamon. The biggest and the best. That's what my dad would have said. The biggest and the best. A man's man. Nah.
The butch David enters.
And you are?
Sheila.
And how does Sheila like her eggs?
And for lies, Mrs. Monley.
Oh. A man is in love.
A smartly suited Eamon with brogues to match his hair leaves his house and strides down the street.
He came and walked with me. And he told me so.
Christ's sake!
He fends off a wee terrier, passing traffic and passers by in the market, making a beeline for the florist stall.
Hello. How are you?
You should bunch of people.
Man is in love.
Morning, Frank.
Frank, the traffic warden, chuckles as Eamon, clutching his bunch of flowers, steps into some doggy doo-doo.
Whenever you're near, he whispered your name.
Undaunted, he crosses the street towards O'Sullivan's, the undertaker's, and peers through the shop window. Inside, a pretty raven-haired girl looks up from her work. They make eye contact. Unnoticed, a small, bespectacled boy, a young tyke, approaches and gives Eamon a shove. The moment is destroyed. Eamon gives the boy a look and in a huff heads for his workplace opposite.
Amore, your love is our affair.
Happy Valentine's Day, Delphine.
Pervert.
Still clutching the flowers, he struggles through the busy, cluttered Amore office to his desk.
Bastards! Happy Valentine's Day, Millicent.
Most of the dozen or so staff wear telephone headsets, as does Millicent, whose desk is in front of Eamon's. On her desk is a framed photo of her, bearing the inscription, Marketing Trainee of the Month. Eamon dons his headset, boots up his PC, and takes his first call.
Big blue eyes, not too bright, but not too stupid. Gentle but forceful, a good sense of humour, but when the serious side, but most of all, Eamon.
Buns like a gladiator.
What I like, son.
Right, Miss Dunphy.
Now Eamon and Millicent are at the coffee machine.
I got her flowers.
Ooh! Christ's sake, you get her flowers every day. Why don't you just go and talk to her, Eamon?
Talk to her?
Yeah. Do something, Eamon. Even the angel of death has to go out sometime. Bastards! Don't you ever get fed up, Eamon. Don't you ever, like... dream of doing something with your life.
Like what?
I don't know, like saving the world, like that bollocks in your comic.
Superman never really saves the world, Millicent. That's why there's a new issue every month.
Bastard!
Eamon scoops up his flowers, turns the lights out in an empty Amore office, and trudges homeward, where his mother is watching TV.
Today, men produce only 66 million sperm per milliliter of semen, compared to the 160 million produced by the average hamster.
Mommy.
Ach, son.
Time wasn't right, Mommy. Tomorrow.
You're not like your daddy at all. Are you, Eamon?
No, Mommy. I'm not like my daddy at all.
Given the superior quality of rodent spermatozoa, it would therefore appear that the domestic pet hamster is now three times more fertile than the average man.
Eamon sits next to his hamster's cage and pores over a press cutting celebrating 100 years of O'Sullivan's funeral services. Rosie, as the object of his desire is called, is pictured with her uncle. Now Rosie sits alone in a bistro, drinking from a mug and reading a book. She wears black from head to toe. As Eamon scribbles falteringly into a blank notebook, "My love is like..." Rosie walks through a dimly lit alleyway, her slender frame silhouetted by the urban lights ahead of her. She reaches her door, turns the key, and wistfully looks over her shoulder. Eamon looks for inspiration. Rosie, reflective, gazes into her aquarium.
I like fish.
A light goes out at O'Sullivan's.
I am sorry, Miss Dunphy. No, I didn't realise it was into that sort of thing.
Another day at Amore.
Well, now, maybe you should try and keep an open mind.
Millicent joins him.
Yeah, there's no call for that now, Miss Dunphy. She doesn't want it dead. She wants an inquisition. Why can't people just accept each other for who they are?
I spoke to a wee girl today. Wouldn't look at a fella who earned less than 15 grand a year.
Bastards!
Still in a strop, he strides home, clutching his comic, and turns the street corner.
Have you not got any old ladies to tear up?
What you got there?
It's a gum-chewing, blousy blonde.
Nothing.
I'm the Virgin Mary.
She snatches his comic.
Superman? Aren't you a bit old for that? So tell me, Superman, if you've got X-ray vision, what colour knickers am I wearing? Well, I'm not wearing any!
Eamon takes flight.
What a wee wort. Now, Sheila, never judge a banana by its skin. There's one thing I've learned in life, it's the best lovers are the ones you least expect. All it takes is a woman who knows what she's doing.
A woman like you?
A woman with no letters?
Eamon is watching TV with his mum.
Homosexual.
Ma?
Because Mrs. Reardon up at the spa, now her son is a homosexual and he is a very nice lad. I'll just ask him to tea, maybe on Thursday. I mean, you never
I'm
know.
Not a homosexual, Ma.
Well, what is the matter with you, son?
Just because I'm not chasing skirts doesn't mean there's something the matter with me. I'm looking for love.
Who is talking about love? I am talking about sex. Sexual intercourse. It is the most beautiful thing on God's earth, and it is our enjoyment and appreciation of it that separates us from the beasts.
But she's the woman for me, Ma. I knew it the first time I saw her.
The first time I met your father, God rest his soul, all I saw was that tight wee arse, like two boiled eggs on a bed.
A flashback of Eamon's dad dancing.
He couldn't sing very well, but he could shag like a lion.
It's not like that with Rosie, Ma. I'd die for her.
Oh, that's right, Eamon. She'll love you that much better whenever you're dead and lying in one of her coffins.
He looks deflated.
Look, son. If she's worth it, she'll see you for who you are.
He stands up and looks in the mirror.
What's there to see?
Now he's in a bar reading his comic. The blousy blonde is nearby drinking with girlfriends.
So I ask and straight out. Is it meant to be that small? But he stood there in his socks with his thing sticking up like a little lost mushroom.
I think I'll stick with sweet yay.
It's the barman.
Sorry.
It's an aphrodisiac.
An aphrodisiac? What would someone like me do with an aphrodisiac? I'm 24 years old. I work in a dating agency and I live with my ma.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Have you met my ma?
Oh.
I said to him, you're not putting that wee thing in me. You might get lost and never find it again. What's it we say, girls? It's not the size of the spade.
It's a ticket on the hole!
The blonde sashays up to Eamon at the bar.
Hello, gorgeous.
Her flimsy, low-cut dress barely covers her shiny red bra and ample bosom, which she thrusts against him.
I've had my eye on you, Eamon Manley.
She now has Eamon's undivided attention.
You know my favourite fairy tale when I was a wee girl, Eamon? The one where the princess kisses the ugly toad and kazoom. It's been my inspiration in life, you see. And I'll tell you, I have snogged some toads in my time.
They're now at their own table.
Once in a while, a prince comes along to make it all worthwhile. Are you a prince, Eamon?
I am. I am a prince.
She grabs him and snogs him.
Do you like to screw?
Don't know.
She grabs his crutch.
Jesus, Mary and 11 apostles. Don't tell me
Mary.
That. You have never dunked your biscuit, have you?
No biscuit?
He's a virgin. He's a blind virgin! Oh, sweet Jesus. I bet you don't even know where to put it.
I saw some rabbits at school.
Oh, Jesus! Oh, no!
Now they're in a taxi.
Mary.
What is it, Superman?
I lied. I never saw any rabbits.
Don't you worry, sweet Pete. I've seen hundreds of them.
He pays the cabbie.
I don't usually do this.
Take it easy, son. It's like riding a bicycle. Just hold on to the handlebars. Keep pedaling.
Pedaling? Right enough.
Eamon!
God love you, son!
Now inside Mary's bedroom.
Mary?
The room is decorated in hot, girly colours, reds and pinks.
Mary?
Standing on a white fur rug, atop the fuchsia carpet, he starts to undress. As he takes off his white cotton vest, Mary enters, sultry and seductive in a scarlet negligee. She flings him to the bed and kneels astride him.
Don't take this personally. The girl has to be careful these days.
She throws pills and potions at him. He stares wide eyes as she prepares for action.
No glove, no love.
Condom sorted, she strips naked.
Up, up, and away!
She goes down on him, bouncing up and down. He's finding it hard going. She's enjoying it.
Sometimes you get a thing. I don't know, Mary.
Come on, Superman. Come on.
Just pull on the handlebar. Keep paddling.
Keep paddling. Keep paddling.
Like Man of Steel. Man of Steel. Faster. Your feet go. Faster.
He rolls on top. She's impressed. They're on the floor. Back on the bed, the room is spinning. She looks ecstatic. He's giving it so much willy. Her top lip curls in gratification. He props himself up, spent, bemused, knackered. She photographs him for posterity. He collapses in a heap. Morning, Eamon flings open his bedroom window, smirking.
Be careful out there. It's Friday the 13th, and who knows where bad luck lies. If you're planning anything important today, don't.
Inside, his brother falls over. Unperturbed, Eamon dresses.
7-yard truck.
Now he jauntily strides down the street.
Superstar. Nancy.
He's bearing flowers. Frank, the traffic warden, turns his back as Eamon neatly sidesteps some doggy doo-doo.
No one parks illegally on Friday the 13th. They think they'll get a ticket.
And will they, Frank?
Not at all. This is the one day of the year I declare an amnesty. But I can't find any cars not to give a ticket to.
You know something, Frank? Something tells me today's going to be the best day of my life.
Bloody Egypt.
Nose in the air, Frank strides off. Into the doggy doo-doo.
Amore, your love's our affair.
Delphine, your eyebrows are on crooked.
Cheeky shit.
She's doing her makeup. Eamon heads to his desk.
Morning, Millicent.
What the hell are you?
To O'Sullivan's, where Rosie and her uncle work on a corpse.
It's not right, you hanging around the dead all day long. You should be out having fun, being happy.
Is that not for Uncle Eugene?
I'm just saying it. There's many a man a day for a date with you. I mean, what have you got to lose, Rosemary?
My pride, confidence, dignity and sense of humour.
I remember your father when he was your age. He was a grand fella for the love, your father. He walked down the street, stood beneath your ma's window, and he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Much good it did him.
A curmudgeon, just like her mother. But I'm telling you, when that bolt of lightning strikes, you'll fall just as hard as she did.
She smiles sweetly at the prospect. Outside, a delivery man bears flowers and a card. An aggressive man pushes him against the garage and thrusts a news clipping in his face.
Mad Dog Billy Wilson is one of the most feared and ruthless paramilitaries to have survived the Troubles in Northern Ireland.
Feared and ruthless. Now here are those lovely flowers for.
Inside O'Sullivan's, Rosie, putting on black framed glasses, comes to reception.
What is it, Winky?
Don't call me that. Here I am, risking life and limb, bringing fragrant and fertile gifts into this godforsaken pit of papal sewerage.
Don't talk like that.
How can you work with these people, Rosie? The provost killed your ma.
Just because my mommy died in a car crash in Dublin does not mean the IRA killed her.
You're a good Protestant girl, Rosie. You should be amongst good Protestant people.
Now, how's about a wee hug for Billy Wilson?
Or would you like to stick your tongue down my throat?
The Amore clock reads 5:30. Delphine touches up her makeup. Eamon paces the floor.
Calm down, Eamon.
Listen.
He's like a caged tiger.
It's like I'm surfing a wave about to break. I just woke up with the feeling that today was going to be lucky. I looked in the mirror. And I thought, raging bull.
Does that mean you're going to see the Fair Mary again?
It's just that today I think I could do anything I set my mind to.
He grabs his jacket and flowers and heads for the door. During his rant, colleagues tripped over, stapled a finger, and a crow hit the window. Eamon psychs himself up outside O'Sullivan's.
Shake like a lion.
Can I help you? You're the nervous one, aren't you?
The lights go out.
Oh, well, that's Friday the 13th for you. Things go wrong. The world turns backwards, all that stuff. Are you still there?
She strikes a match.
Do you know something? Every morning I buy a bunch of flowers, hoping to give them to the women in my dreams. I always end up giving them to my ma.
A daily confirmation that things never turn out the way you'd hoped?
No. You don't understand. It's like anything is possible. Even love.
I don't think so. Fate never did anyone any favours.
The candle she had lit goes out.
See?
In the gloom, he proffers the flowers.
Would you go out to dinner with me?
She strikes another match. They stare into each other's eyes.
What would the woman of your dreams have to say about that?
You tell me.
They stare.
What's your name?
Eamon. Eamon Manley.
I would like that, Eamon.
Sorry.
Dinner.
You would?
I like fish.
Fish. Right, fish. When?
Next Tuesday, St. Patrick's Day. I have to get back to work.
She takes the flowers, he smiles, turns and leaves. Outside, a van has sped through a puddle, drenching him from head to toe. The smile has gone, but he looks unfazed, stoic, philosophical. Now, as he prepares for bed, his calendar shows tomorrow's date, March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, and an inscription reads, "Life takes guts." He turns out the light.
What's your bloody son?
My son, Raymond?
Eamon?
Eamon bloody Manley.
Nah, Eamon! Eamon hasn't done anything he shouldn't, has he?
Wake up, you wee weasel. Wake up.
Ma?
I'm not your ma, you wee snake. I'm gonna be someone's bleeding ma. I'm in trouble.
What trouble? What have you done?
I'm pregnant.
But you use protection. You used a lot of protection.
So it's a bleeding miracle, the fucking Immaculate Conception. What do I know? All I know is in 8 bleeding months, I'm going to be a mummy.
Well, how do you know it's mine?
What do you think I am, some kind of slut?
I'll do the right thing by you, Mary.
What's to you earn, Superman?
8,000 a year. Plus bonuses.
Jesus. But you'll tell no one. If a breath of this gets out, I'll come back with a blunt knife and feed your cojones to the dogs, understood? Someone else will carry the can for this. Someone with the means to look after me. No one knows. Christ, I'll fucking believe it anyhow.
Mary.
Don't ever speak to me again, okay?
She's left behind the post-coital photo she took of Eamon, showing him looking surprised, triumphant, and seriously shagged out.
With birth rates in the Catholic community increasing, many Protestants fear they'll no longer be in the majority in Northern Ireland. With me now is Unionist activist Billy Wilson.
They're on TV.
Well, we've got nothing to worry about, Kate. Us Protestants have always been in the majority in the province. Always will be. Come a referendum, we'll win. Just wait and see.
Fucking prod. Shouldn't it be more of us than there is of them? And we'll send them back like Brits where they belong.
But they were born here, Raymond.
Could you stand there like a great Jenny Ann? What sort of Irishman are you?
The war's over, Raymond. No one wants to know anymore.
Is that right? We'll see. Just don't come crying to me when the boys come looking for you in the middle of the night.
Eamon returns to his ironing. Now he's walking the street when he spies Mary with a young man in a parked car. He peers gauchely inside. Mary, all glammed up, coy and beaming, is clutching a boxed diamond ring. She drops the ring to distract her beau and gestures frantically to Eamon to scarper, lest he ruin her plans. She grabs her beau and snogs him to further distract him as Eamon, looking slighted, disappears. Now Rosie's front door opens to reveal Eamon on her doorstep. Rosie demurely slides into view.
You look beautiful.
Come on, Dr. Zhivago. I'm starving.
Now a waitress serves them each with a plate of fish and chips in a clean but inexpensive restaurant.
Thank you.
Fish.
They share a bottle of red wine.
Do you know the fish eat their babies?
Is that red? Sort of hamsters. That's interesting.
What are we doing here, Eamon?
Getting to know each other.
Sort of like a test drive, you mean?
No, it's a first date.
So now I talk about myself for a while. I like to read.
This is going well. What do you read?
Novels, mostly. Russian novels. They seem to lead such simple lives, the Russians, in the country, you know? Baking bread, farming pigs. I sometimes think I'd like to have been a Russian.
She gestures that it's his turn to say something.
I like films. I used to go to the Saturday matinee with my dad.
What does he do?
He was a singer in a band. They said he couldn't sing very well, but he could check me. He passed on.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. He was only six. I didn't really know him. Everyone liked him, a real man. They called him a real Jack the Lad. My ma said he had this huge funeral. Everyone came. You'd have loved it.
You tell me on a first date, shouldn't you be keeping my glass full?
Another customer prepares to leave. Eamon has his jacket off now.
What about your folks?
I lost them both.
Rosie smokes.
Just careless, I guess. My mother died young, and in the end, my father couldn't live without her. So when he died, I came to live with my Uncle Eugene at the funeral parlour. Spooky, huh?
What was your ma like? Did you know her?
My ma?
Hmm.
No, not really. I remember she used to sing me a song.
What song?
I don't know, I can't remember.
What, like a lullaby? Or...
Yeah, something like that. It was just a song that was popular back then.
Aye, when my ma sings, she's Sarah's milk. Go on. I won't tell anyone. Please.
She ain't got no money. Clothes are kind of funny. Hair is kind of wild and free. All but love grows where my rosemary goes. And nobody knows like me.
You're not what I expected.
How's that?
I don't know. Your hair.
Eamon?
Hmm?
You're Eamon, aren't you? I've heard about you. You and my friend Mary Mallory.
Excuse me?
You can help me, Eamon. 13 years I've been trying, and I'm not getting any younger.
What are you talking about?
You helped Mary, all right. Sure you did.
Fine,
you helped her that night.
Is my time up? Should I leave?
No, please don't leave. Rosie, it's fine.
Has it worked a miracle for you yet, love?
What do you mean? Are you... Who's Mary?
No.
Have a good night. I'll pay! I earn a decent wage. It's not right that a good, honest, fruitful woman should be denied her chance of happiness just because him in Rome doesn't like test tubes.
I don't know you!
Rosie?
Please, don't go yet. That woman, she was just a client at the dating agency.
Thanks for the battered cord, Eamon. That was...
No, really, you have to listen to me.
It was everything I thought it would be.
Rosie walks off into the night.
I don't even know her!
Distraught, anguished, Eamon slumps against the restaurant door. Now in bed, Eamon is dreaming.
Be a real man, Eamon Manley. A real man.
Oh, Rosie.
Give it to me. Give me your part like you gave to Mary Mallory.
Give it to me. Give me your car like you gave it to Mary Mallory. Yes.
The woman from the restaurant is on top of him.
Yes, yes. Make a baby in me. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Oh, yes. 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 Oh. Nothing artificial about that insemination, was there?
She unties his shackles and dismounts.
Already. The baby is growing within me. Big Frank won't believe it.
Frank?
My husband. He's the best traffic warden in the 6 counties. He's won awards. He even has a medal. He just has this condition. But you and me have solved that little problem now, haven't we?
He rushes to the bathroom. A female egg swims in hope to nirvana. A test tube is vigorously shaken by Frank's wife. Eamon sits alone on a bench. He imagines how Rosie would describe the meal at the restaurant.
So come on now. How was your date? He seemed like a nice boy.
He did, didn't he?
Her uncle gets the picture. A sea of swimming spermatozoa. Eamon is still on the bench. The test tube apparently shows positive. Frank congratulates his wife.
You did it.
You did it. Thanks to Eamon.
Thanks to Eamon.
They beam radiantly. Eamon's bench is empty. He trudges the streets with furrowed brow. He spies Frank on duty.
Shit. Eamon! Eamon! I just wanted to thank you. It's a miracle! You may be strange, but you're fertile. I'll give you that much, Eamon Manley. You're the most fertile bloody man in Ireland! She ain't got
no money to close. It's morning, and Eamon sits up in bed, deep in thought. His mother wheels in a large TV on a trolley. He switches off the record player.
You are the little bouncing ball.
I don't like women anymore, Mummy. I think I'm going to be homosexual.
Eamon.
I'm scared, Ma. I'm like that king who touched everything and it turned to gold. I breathe and women get pregnant.
Look, son, we'll sort it out. You'll be all right. Boys
born with. She hugs him. Over her shoulder, the voice on the TV claims his attention.
These are strange times for the male species. In many ways, we're entering the age of the redundant male. Under the microscope, the extent of the problem is clear. The spermatozoa, sluggish, malformed, crippled, without hope of surviving the perilous journey to the egg. A healthy cervix littered with the corpses of dying sperm. This is the progeny of a species on the brink of extinction.
We're big fans of your show, Doctor.
Oh, my God.
What is it?
Take a look.
Just like a spy. Tadpoles on speed.
What?
Eamon looks through the microscope.
Those are there.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Sperm that could impregnate a stone.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to be sick.
In the toilet, he studies his manhood.
Oh, Jesus! Cut it off!
Eamon.
It's a monster, and I don't want it anymore. Cut it off now!
You see this? This file is thick with women desperate for a baby of their own. But the church won't let them consider the scientific solutions.
He's at a fertility clinic.
Do you want to do some good in your life, Eamon?
I'm very sorry.
He spies on a disappointed couple with a specialist.
So sorry.
Do you want to help?
He watches them walk away dejectedly, hand in hand. They stop. The woman consoles her partner.
You can make a lot of women very happy.
As he ponders Dr. Johnson's words, the letters of the Amore logo zoom and fade, zoom and fade. He's at work staring into space.
All right, Eamon.
It's Millicent.
You all right?
If you could help people, if you had something that could make them happy beyond their wildest dreams, what would you do? Look at these people. Just ordinary couples, desperate for a baby.
He leafs through files.
I can give them what they want.
Millicent stares open-mouthed. They're now outside, sitting on the curb.
You're a marvel.
I am. Am I?
You're the ultimate fast-moving consumer durable. You've got the pull to create a niche and a push to supply the demand. You're a one-man service industry.
Service industry.
Aye.
Eamon contemplates this, as does Millicent.
No, no, it wouldn't work.
Wouldn't be right.
Wouldn't be legal.
More pause for thought.
What is?
Millicent.
You're fine.
I can't do this. I'll do it tomorrow.
They arrive at a pebble-dashed house with a glazed front door. Eamon loses his bottle. She pulls him back.
We bonds, Eamon. We bonds. Come on.
Hi.
A smiling young lady in pink opens the door and shows them into a tidy, comfortable sitting room where a second lady awaits them.
This is Mrs. Riley.
A svelte, sassy 30-something redhead. She takes a framed photograph from the mantelpiece.
This is my Jimmy.
Jimmy, it's very nice.
Eamon believes she's offering it for inspection, but she won't let go. A tug of war ensues. Finally, Eamon lets go. She holds Jimmy close to her chest and gives them a look suggesting, never mind what we're about to do, no one takes the place of my Jimmy. She slowly heads for the stairs. Eamon follows her upstairs. Millicent, wearing a loud lime green overcoat, looks round the room and perches nervously on the sumptuous three-piece sofa, which is adorned with a pristine white antimacassar. She lights a cigarette and casts her eyes to the ceiling.
Come on, my boy.
She turns a photograph of the Catholic primate to face the wall and sits back down. She casts her eyes to the ceiling again, listening intently. Eyes wide, she grins, sniggers, and clenches her fists triumphantly. She jumps to her feet as Eamon reappears, dishevelled, bedhead. He shrugs his shoulders.
You'll stay for a cup of tea?
She hands Millicent a brown envelope and with an appreciative glance at Eamon minces with a wide gait from the room. Millicent looks in the envelope.
I think we're in business.
Now outside, Millicent leaves a calling card in a phone booth. Under their MFM logo it reads, Procreation Guaranteed. She clears her desk at Amore, takes a file marked Happy Couples, and staples a calling card to trees, lampposts, wherever. As she settles into their new shabby office, Dr. Johnson, the fertility expert, slips an MFM card into her handbag. Millicent takes a call. Now wearing pink, she's riding a pink scooter. Eamon meets her in Amore's car park and prepares to ride pillion.
I'm Mrs. O'Rourke, Deirdre, and this is my husband, Mr. O'Rourke.
No funny business, Molly. Keep one foot on the floor, in and out, and leave us to our lunch, right?
Rosie, smoking, waits outside.
Thank you, Eamon. Thank you very much.
You'll come to the baptism?
Oh, yes. Oh, you're a pro, Molly. You're a real pro.
The phones are ringing off the hook. The fax is almost steaming. Business is booming. Eamon enters one front door and leaves another. The lift's going up. Bed springs are rocking. The piggy bank is swelling. Bed springs get a man-sized pounding. Now a white-collar man wearing a blue shirt and tie sits alone at a breakfast table. With a contained, sullen, peevish acceptance, he smashes the top of his boiled egg with a teaspoon. His eyes go to the ceiling, his thoughts to the room above. Job done, Eamon enters the kitchen for a glass of water. He doesn't see the man watching from the breakfast room. He turns and sees the man watching. They share a poignant moment.
Sorry.
Eamon puts down the glass of water. He leaves. The man stares at his boiled egg.
God!
A confessional curtain opens.
He's a bad father.
We live in interesting times, Eamon. Our women need babies. Our men have no noodles. And the church will not abide artificial insemination.
You mean you don't mind?
The way I see it, Eamon, you're the lesser of two evils. It's you or the test tube. And you're the natural choice.
Thank you, Father.
Well, Eamon, as the big man says, go forth and multiply. And I have to go and tend to my own children.
Don't you mean your flock, Father?
I know what I said, Eamon.
They shake hands. Meanwhile, at O'Sullivan's.
Do you mind if I smoke?
Go ahead, it's good for business.
It's Councillor Billy Wilson.
You know what, Gorgeous? You need a man who can really satisfy you.
Like a dead man needs a Rolex. Thank you.
She takes his flowers.
Bloody lesbian.
Eamon enters, tense and awkward, with flowers.
Are you all right, Sean?
In the wrong shop.
He leaves. Millicent does the accounts on a calculator beneath a sign that reads, "Punishment beatings will continue until staff morale improves."
Jesus Christ, look at you. 5 days a week, 10 women a day. How do you do it? I mean... What is it that you do in there exactly?
I don't really know, Millicent. I'll be honest now, I always keep my eyes shut. Tell me, Millicent, do you ever think about having kids?
You keep away from me, Eamon Manley. If my Michael and I want a symbol of our love, I'd put a wee plaque above the bed. I like babies, Eamon, but I couldn't need a full one.
So well. How are we doing then, Millicent?
Well, if you keep us up, Emma Manley, we are all going to be very, very rich.
She jingles car keys. With Eamon at the wheel of a gleaming red old Scimitar, they're cruising Belfast's nighttime streets. They sit on a wall.
Really making a difference. Aren't we, Millicent?
If the bastards could see us now.
They each drink from a bottle.
This is the prime of my life. I'm healthy. Talented.
You're nearly rich.
It's her loss.
He lets go his empty bottle.
Eamon, women are like microwave ovens. You need them to heat up your noodles, but you have no idea how they work.
Millicent? Who's Dr. Zhivago?
I don't know. Sounds foreign.
I tell you, Millicent, sex and money is not all it's cracked up to be.
More champagne, Eamon.
Thanks very much.
Viewed from behind them now, their perch is revealed to be high above downtown Belfast, with twinkling city lights reflected in shimmering urban marinas.
Belfast.
Eamon raises his bottle in a toast. Now a dank grey dawn breaks over Belfast. Clutching a bottle, Eamon lies asleep in the road beside his car outside O'Sullivan's. Rosie emerges, mug in hand. Eamon stirs in his sleep. She crouches and puts the mug beside him.
Look, Rosie.
You look awful. What's that?
Money, that's the money. You could buy a farm, raise pigs, like in a Russian novel.
Where did you get it?
I've been sleeping with women for money.
Of course you have.
No, wait, Rosie, please wait. Please, give me another chance. You've got me all wrong.
What happened to your girlfriend?
There were never any girlfriends, ever. Look, please, Rosie, please. Just one night. What have you got to lose?
You could take me to the bonfires. It's a glorious 12th tomorrow.
You mean the Protestant fires? You mean the fires celebrating how King Billy beat the Catholics in 1690? You mean the fires where Protestants get drunk and celebrate the Battle of the Boyne where they killed loads of Catholics?
My dad used to take me all the time. We never missed it.
They'll burn me alive.
Never mind him.
She walks away. No.
Ruth! What about Tuesday? Or next Saturday? Billy!
One, two!
Nighttime at the Orange Bonfires, a carnival of revelry and colour, heady with bonfire smoke and bonhomie. Rosie walks a lantern-lit path.
Rosie! Rosie! You bother. If they see Emma Teague, they'll string me up.
Will you pop up,
Ruth? Who's that there, Branna?
Some Catholic king. Emily, I think his name was. Come on. No one will hurt you. Come on.
Rosie!
Billy Wilson, twirling a mace, spots them.
Look around you. Mr. Dayton Agency, you don't see people in love here?
Maybe.
Councillor Mad Dog Billy Wilson doesn't look best pleased at their union.
Told you it was beautiful.
Hand in hand, they marvel at the sights and sounds.
Now it's evening time. I reach for your life beside me.
Families frolic, drummers beat. Pipers play, young and old embrace the night. A well-oiled man in uniform offers Eamon a libation.
We're going, Oster!
Just like every time.
Hey, God knows her, you taser. Thanks very much.
Love you as much. Come as on, before. Tigger.
Jesus.
I protect you.
Done with time and patience, I'm moved with the crowd.
They dance amidst the throng, happy together. Now, playfully, joyously, they retrace their steps along the lantern-lit path. Eamon twirls Rosie round in a spontaneous pas de deux. Now, high atop a hill, they stand side by side, looking out over the city lights far below. Sparks from a bonfire, whipped up by the wind, fly past. Rosie, hesitantly, tentatively, puts her arm in his and nestles into him. Now, in pale early morning sunlight, the fire still burns in braziers as they stand quayside, looking into each other's eyes. Eamon moves to her and kisses her, tenderly. Rosie reports for work.
Shut up, you.
She can't hide her joy.
Mm-hmm.
And radiance. As for Eamon, he mimics playing a kettle drum as he walks the street. He's been kidnapped and held in a large warehouse.
Jesus, Billy. The man's dying of thirst.
We'll go and get him something to drink.
I thought you were buying the drinks. I brought the sandwiches. You never said to bring the drinks.
We'll fucking go and get him something now.
It's late. Nothing will be open. And anyhow, I have no money.
Jesus, George, you read the piece.
But Billy...
Read the fucking piece.
The East Antrim Brigade is one of the most feared and ruthless paramilitary groups to come out of the Troubles in Northern Ireland.
Feared and ruthless. Now go and find him something to drink.
You go.
I've got the gun.
Well, give me the gun.
You don't know how to use it.
You pull the trigger, bang.
Go and get the fucking drink.
Club Orange, please. He wants a Club Orange. Where am I going to find a Club Orange at this time of night, hmm? Next time I get the gun.
Mad Dog Billy puts the gun's muzzle against Eamon's hooded head.
Now, you little fucker.
He whips off the hood.
You're gonna kill me, aren't you? I heard what he said.
You're feared and ruthless. You stalked me. You kidnapped me. Now you're going to torture me and shoot me in the back of the head and dump me on waste ground. Another innocent Catholic victim in their troubles.
Don't tempt me.
You cut off my ears. Pour petrol all over me.
Will you shut the fuck up? I am not going to hurt you.
You're not?
No.
Why have you brought me here then?
Orders. Certain powerful people in our community are very interested in you.
Me? I've not done anything. I'm innocent. I'm an innocent man.
Listen, you little shite. You've heard rumours of another referendum, eh?
To decide on the future of Northern Ireland?
Give the man a bun. No one knows when it's going to happen, but one thing's for certain. When it does, whoever's the majority is going to decide the future of this country.
I thought you Protestants were the majority.
We are, but the way you Catholic whores are multiplying, that's going to change. That's why we need you.
Me?
We have women who want babies, whose menfolk can't give them babies, and even our church won't abide artificial insemination. You can make them pregnant. And their babies will be Protestant babies.
But I'm a Catholic.
But nobody will know the difference, because nobody will say nothing.
But your women are fat and ugly.
Mary, our women are the most beautiful in the world. The last 10 Miss Northern Ireland were all Protestants.
That's because the judges were all Prats too.
Listen, you tasteless, undereducated, left-footed mick. Anyway,
it doesn't matter, because I ain't giving it all up.
Oh, you're giving up nothing. You're fucking for us now, boy.
But I've met this girl. I'm in love.
Love? I'll give you fucking death. I can see even living to you when I'm around, you little piece of shamrock shite. I'm gonna rip your fucking throat out.
What are you talking about?
You don't deserve it. You don't fucking deserve it.
You have no idea what I had to go through to get him a Club Orange.
George has returned with a Club Orange.
He's leaving.
But it's my turn to hold the gun.
I told him the deal and he's gonna work with us. Aren't you, Eamon?
George gives Eamon the can.
I'll get back to you. He traumatised me. I'm afraid it may have had an adverse effect. I might not be able to get it up again.
Dear, is there anything that I can do?
Eamon frowns, confused. The offer goes over his head. George unties him.
Get up!
Mad Dog helps Eamon to his feet.
Can I drive?
And manhandles him to the door.
Come on!
Now, Eamon and Millicent are clearly in a loyalist area.
Christ's sake, Millicent, come on.
On a house call, there's red, white, and blue everywhere. The door to number 7 opens. Above the door, a Union Jack flutters in the breeze.
This is Mrs. George, Eamon.
Good afternoon.
Conservative, austere, straight-laced. Look. They shake hands. She nods stiffly. Eamon catches a gander of a portrait of the Queen above the mantelpiece before following Mrs. George, presumably upstairs.
Eamon! Eamon!
Now Millicent drops him at a moray. He gives her his helmet and dashes across the road clutching a book of Russian tales.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, clients, right up to my ears.
It's all right. Did you find true love today?
What?
True love.
She nods at a moray.
Oh, right, yeah, true love.
They kiss.
Right, come on. I'm starving.
Have you been reading, Mr. I Like Films?
Aye, it's a Russian book. A real Russian novel. It's about this Russian guy. And he's always dreamed about finding the perfect pig. So he leaves his young wife and his farm and everything, and he goes off to search for it.
And what happens?
I don't know. I'm only on page 13.
Another house call. A happy Protestant.
Thanks very much.
With a post-coital cup of tea. And another house call.
Cup of tea.
A grateful Catholic. Now a smiling tea-bearing Protestant.
Oh. Hey. Thanks.
Who's Jupiter, Superman or Clark Kent?
Superman. What's Jupiter? Swans? Or fish?
Swans? What's Jupiter? Nuns or priests?
Nuns. And priests.
I wanted to be a nun when I was a wee girl.
Me too.
I'm serious. I wanted to give myself to Jesus.
Aye, but you have to be a virgin to be a nun.
I am a virgin, Eamon.
He drops an ornament in her aquarium.
It's okay.
Oh, sorry.
He retrieves the delicate porcelain.
What about your other boyfriend?
Well, we kissed and messed about a bit, but she never really got round to it.
You must be the only virgin in Belfast.
Why aren't you?
Truth. It slipped my hand, was what?
It's okay. It doesn't matter. Jeez. I just think that the first time she'd be really special. Like a fresh pint of milk. Don't you think?
Eamon's face is expressionless.
You're right. It should be special.
Mrs. George, Mrs. Hamilton, Mrs. Barnett, Mrs. Atkinson, Mrs. Williams.
I've been thinking, Millicent. You know, this might come as a wee bit of a shock, but I've decided to knock it on the head.
Fine. That's fine, Eamon. I'll admit I'm disappointed, but I respect your decision.
You do?
I'll make some calls. They'll be devastated, of course, but you don't miss what you never had, do you?
I will. Maybe they could adopt or something.
Certainly. Certainly, or get a wee puppy dog or something. I suggest that, will Eamon? Ah, well. Back to $8,000 a year plus bonuses. By the way, Eamon, that Dr. Zhivago fella, I hear he's been sniffing around your Rosie again.
Really?
A sequence of rapid cuts between photos, usually above mantelpieces, of the Queen, the Primate, the Queen, the Pontiff, the Queen, the Primate, a beaming sovereign, His Beneficent Holiness, Her Majesty morphs into the Primate and back again. Eamon chokes on a Protestant cuppa.
My sister was right about...
Get the fuck out! Get out now! What are you doing here, Raymond?
I'm not here as your brother.
Whose brother are you, Harris?
They told me all about your sordid little game, and I've been sent with a message. No more prods!
Look, Raymond, if the lads want an appointment, get them to call Millicent, all right?
So it's true? Jesus Christ. You're a disgrace to your family and a disgrace to your nation.
My nation? Tell me, Raymond, what more could I do for my nation? All those souls lost in the famine and the troubles. I'm repopulating this place.
With what?
That's the best part. They're not Catholic and they're not Protestant. They'll be faithless little Eamons and they'll be the final nail in your bigoted coffins.
I might be a bigot. At least I'm not a whore.
What's the problem, Raymond? Jealous?
You're sick.
The only difference between me and you is I get paid for what I do. That's not sick. That's capitalism.
I'm nothing like you.
What are you like, Raymond?
I don't do what you do.
Don't you?
I couldn't do what you do.
You've been doing it since you're 12.
I've got no sperm.
What?
Yeah, go on, laugh. If I was a bull, they'd turn me into hamburgers.
Raymond sits on the sofa, clutching his handgun and balaclava. Now Eamon sits beside him. Eamon looks at his brother with compassion and takes the gun from him.
It blanks anyway.
And an angel of the Lord came unto Joseph, saying,
Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for it was through the Holy Spirit she was conceived.
I'll catch a fella from round here falling for a line like that. Holy Spirit, Mary's ma.
Jesus!
Rosie leaves Eamon and his ma to take communion.
Proud of you, son. You've got everything you ever wanted. A steady job, a healthy income, and a wonderful girl that loves you.
Women, Dad, have been proud of me.
Oh, yes, Eamon. Very proud.
Just one thing. I need her to know. Rosie, I can't live this double life any longer. Maybe you could make her understand.
Is your head cut? Do you think she'd understand that you've had it away with every woman in Belfast? She's not asking, so you don't tell her. And if she does ask, you still don't tell her.
I don't get it, Ma.
No, sweetheart. And please God, you never will.
Rosie returns and kisses Eamon on the cheek.
Happy Christmas, Eamon.
It's New Year's Eve. A crowd anticipating the midnight hour celebrates in downtown Queen's Square. Rosie kisses Eamon passionately, pinning him against the gate of the Albert Clock Tower. The gate gives way. They kiss again.
Come on.
What?
New Year's resolution. No one will see us up here.
She leads him up the spiral stairs inside the 113-foot Victorian memorial. The hands of the four illuminated clock faces show 10 to midnight, at the top, surrounded by the clock faces they embrace. They explore the confined, intimate space.
First time.
Now we're still at it in our own place.
They undress, unaware that from outside, like sonne lumière, their shadows can be seen cast on the clock faces.
Carve tomorrow from a tombstone. But hey, don't listen to me.
Crimson painted nails on pale slender fingers caress his bare smooth skin. Moist, generous lips meet moist, generous lips.
Right now I only wanna be here with you till the morning dew.
Slowly, gently, rhythmically, they make love.
I wanna take you to the island and trace your footprints in the sand. And in the evening, when the sun goes down, we'll make love to the sound of the ocean.
They look at each other as their union, not in any tawdry way, is played out on a clock face.
Banners over by the markets, whitewashing slogans on the shipyard wall. Witch doctors praying for a mighty showdown.
The clock strikes midnight. Fireworks dazzle. Crowds celebrate.
Sacrifice our children to feed them, own our dreams of yesterday. Teach them.
Their passion spent, Eamon and Rosie tightly cling to each other on the clock tower floor.
Well, hey, don't listen to me.
One last kiss, he wraps her in her coat, holds her close.
I've sung too much of that before. Wanna be here with you.
Now Eamon gives Rosie a piggyback home.
Your place or mine?
I've been thinking about that. Maybe we should make your place mine. Or my place yours.
Have you been drinking, Eamon Manley?
No, I mean it. We can get a place together. Just you and me. What do you say? Why are you laughing?
Because I'm happy. Shh, you wake your man up. Mrs. Manley, he's still up.
Deliriously happy, Eamon spins round in the road, gazing open-mouthed in wonderment at a cascade of fireworks exploding in the night sky. He raises his arms aloft, exalted. Rosie stands by the front door with tears in her eyes.
Don't go in there.
Ma? Ma?
Rosie stays outside. A tear rolls down her cheek. Now at the foot of the Albert Clock Tower, a cleaner sweeps away the remnants of last night's revelry. Eamon sits alone on a park bench, mindlessly staring at swans and ducks. Rosie joins him. She puts a comforting arm around him. His grief seems almost inconsolable. Now a serene Mrs. Manley rests in peace in an open coffin. Hands appear and try in vain to prise a TV remote from the iron grip of Mrs. Manley's clasped hands. To the burial.
God of our ancestors in faith, by the covenant made on Mount Sinai, you taught your people to strengthen the bonds of family through faith, honor, and love. Look kindly upon Olive Manley, a mother who sought to bind her children to you. Bring her one day to our heavenly home, where the saints dwell in
blessedness and peace.
A mourner, aging rocker type, has caught the eye.
Are you all right?
Rosie's uncle Eugene pats Eamon on the back. Pale and gaunt, he's led away by Rosie. Arm in arm, they walk back through the cemetery. A mourner shakes Eamon's hand.
If it's any consolation, Uncle Eugene said she was a joy to him. He's a hard man to please.
Sorry for your trouble, son.
Thanks, it was a terrible shock. She was a good mother.
Don't you know me, Eamon? I'm your dad.
No. Really, thanks for coming. Really appreciate it. It means a lot.
It's the aging rocker. Garish shades, florid shirt and tie, leather jacket and ostentatious sideburns. At the cemetery gates, Frank the traffic warden is clamping a bright red car.
That's my car, Frank.
Your ma was a fine woman, Eamon. Well, that doesn't mean you can park where you like. You know the rules.
You go on, Rosie. I just need a moment.
He walks back to the cemetery and inside approaches three men. One the old rocker, the other two appear to be grave diggers. They laugh and joke in a familiar manner.
Who did you say you were?
I'm your da's son.
Meanwhile, back at the gates, Rosie smiles at Frank's wife, who pushes a pram.
Sorry for your trouble, thanks. He's lovely. How old is he?
16 weeks. He's getting awful big.
No. No, my dad's dead. He passed on.
Aye, that's right. I passed on, all right, but I'm not dead.
My ma said my dad passed on.
Good woman and your ma. Outstanding. Had some great times together.
Jesus.
He's a wee miracle. Thanks to you know who.
They said I'd find you here. I'm Mrs. Windsor, and I've a 3 p.m. appointment.
Eamon looks blank, Rosie at the baby's mother.
Do I know you?
I don't know you. Either of you.
The baby has Eamon's eyes and mouth.
Your ma knew what she's getting into. Hey, it didn't work, eh? She just asked the wrong questions.
Mrs. Windsor has tagged along.
Like what?
You know, son, where were you last night? Who's she? That's in the past. I thought we could be pals.
It wasn't a pal I needed.
Now listen, young man. I gave money in good faith.
You're my boy, every inch my son.
Not your son. You prick!
He storms back through the gates where family and friends await.
Jesus Christ, Rosie. You wouldn't believe it. I've just met my father.
It's funny, Eamon, I've just met your son.
Eamon stares at the baby in the pram. Pink bonnet, blue jacket, sucking a dummy. The baby wiggles his fingers as if in recognition. Eamon, touched, reaches out to his son.
What are you doing, Eamon? You stay away from him. I want a baby.
And any others, Eamon? I trusted you. Was I not enough for you?
I tried to tell you. You didn't want to listen to me.
I thought you knew, Eamon.
How many others, Eamon?
How could she not?
What is this, Eamon?
I need a baby.
You're my boy. Every inch my son.
Doctor said it's a miracle. Nice sperm.
Rosie has slapped his face.
I'm the most fertile man in Ireland.
Congratulations, Eamon.
She walks away.
Please, Eamon, I want a baby. I need a baby.
It's Mrs. Windsor. Uncle Eugene leaves.
Rosemary.
Eamon offers an outstretched hand to Mrs. Windsor.
Right. Come on.
They leave hand in hand. Now Eamon is lying on a bed, bare-chested, motionless. A woman is dressing.
For your trouble.
Mrs. Windsor thrusts some notes into Eamon's hand. He screws them up tightly and lies there, still. Eamon's face is expressionless, but etched with the pain of contained emotions, perhaps remorse, regret. He closes his eyes to try to shut them out and clenches a fist. a distant solitary car wends its way along a remote and winding moorland road, revealed now in close-up as a red scimitar, with Eamon at the wheel.
No, I'm sorry, no one has seen him. Yeah, it's only been a couple of weeks, Miss Dunphy. No, I know your one can't wait forever. Yeah, well, you too, Miss Dunphy. Why didn't I bottle him when I had the chance?
Eamon stands nervously outside a freshly painted terraced house.
I just wanted to see the child.
I don't know.
He's beautiful.
The toddler's in her arms.
He's got your ears.
Poor kid. Can I?
He takes the child.
Lou.
And becomes a bit too paternal. The mother quickly takes him back.
I just wanted to see him for a wee while, just for a minute. Like, just please, I didn't mean anything.
The scimitar speeds across the moor.
Your children? These are our children? If truth be known, you were never really involved. It's just your sperm.
She turns and walks away, pushing a twins-bearing buggy. The car's crossing the moor again.
He thought I could do some good. So we only get one chance, one life.
He's with a baby.
He could have been a good father. You've got to believe me. I'm sorry.
You bastard, ye!
Shit!
Back here, you red-headed wee fuck!
Leave me alone!
I ain't get you!
He escapes. Just. Now Eamon sits on the end of a bed, angrily crossing off names from a MFM client list. He looks wretched, miserable, at the end of his tether. He closes his eyes and flops back, lying on the bed. Eyes open now, staring into the abyss. He wraps himself in a candlewick bedspread and dares to dream of Rosie. Her smile and her sweet kisses. Now on a desolate stretch of moorland road, the scimitar dies on Eamon. He brings the car to a halt on the grassy verge. With a ready acceptance of his lot, he gets out of the car and, leaving the door wide open, manfully walks down the road and disappears. With the passage of time, here visually in an instant, the car becomes faded, vandalized, derelict, and overgrown with moorland grasses.
We need babies, missy. Protestant babies.
Hang on, Winky. He's bucking for us. Now, dear, Eamon is meant to be providing us with Catholic babies. Babies who will help to liberate our Catholic community from the shackles of 3 centuries of oppression.
And who, pray tell, will liberate Catholic women from the shackles of idiots like you, Terry Murnigan? Listen, times have changed. You're going to have to work together on this.
We have a saying in our business, Missy. Fuck or be fucked. Strangely appropriate, don't you think? When Manly comes back, an example will have to be made.
We'll be waiting for him. And I don't think we'll be needing any help with that.
Billy Wilson ends the talks with Father Murnigan and Millicent.
Rosie! Rosie, it's Eamon! I come back! Rosemary! Rosie!
Go away!
I'm sorry, I've learned my lesson. I got you a fish.
Fuck off, Eamon.
It wasn't a sex. I just wanted to help, to make a difference.
Make a difference somewhere else, Eamon.
I made a mistake. Nobody's perfect, Rosie.
Oh!
Look, I finished the book. The Russian novel, I think, is important. The Russian guy, he spends years looking for the pig. And then finally, he comes home to his wife. And there in the barn, he sees it. The pig of his dreams.
Don't you see, Rosie? It's you. You're the pig of my dreams. I don't need anything else.
What did the wife do when she found him?
Hit him over the head with a shovel. Killed him instantly.
Why don't you just go away, Eamon? This is doing neither of us any good.
Because I love you. I've always loved you.
You don't understand, Eamon. I don't care about your sperm. And I don't care about your babies. And I don't care about you. I just want you to go away and not bother me again.
It's my birthday.
He holds his arms out beseechingly. He turns a forlorn figure and walks away. He stops and swivels. Rosie is clearly pregnant.
Happy fucking birthday, Eamon. Since January. Our first night.
Rosie, if you'll have me, I'll do anything. Please, I've still got money saved up. We could buy a place, a farm out by the sea, keep some pigs, anything.
No father's better than the wrong father.
No. No, Rosie, please. No, please, please, Rosie! Rosie! Rosemary!
It's night time now. Eamon, distraught, sits on a bench near a churchyard.
It's not me you're looking for, is it?
You're all right, son. You went out, sowed your seed, just like me and my dad before me.
So that's what it's like to be a real man, is it? Walk away when it starts to get complicated. Leave them holding the baby.
She'll take you back. They all do.
That's what I thought.
Tell her you love her. Tell her you're sorry you'll never do it again.
I did.
Oh. Chances are you'd have fucked it up anyway.
It's the way we're built. They produce one wee egg a month. We churn out 1,000 tadpoles a second. We get a sniff of action. We pass on.
Aye, maybe I'll just go back and tell her that, shall I? Look at you.
Look at me. Look at you. Come on, son. Be a man about it.
What the fuck does that mean?
They move on. Now they sit on beer barrels in a dark alley.
Happy days.
Jesus Christ, Eamon, what are you doing? Mad dog Billy Wilson is after you. You've got to get out of here. He knows you're back. He's seen you with an angel of death. Look, when you get somewhere safe, give me a call, okay? And start things all up again. Jesus Christ, where are you going, Eamon? Are you daft as well as stupid? He will mill you.
Eamon chucks his beer can and heads to the street. Mad Dog Billy and George lurk in the shadows opposite.
Hello, boys! Hey, Protestant!
He's under Rosie's window.
Come on, now! Ah, yeah, you, come on, now! Big... Stay in!
Billy's now fully wound up.
Come on, now!
Oh, great!
Big wicked up!
Billy,
you'll damage
the goods.
I'm gonna knock your fucking
belt
out. Rosie,
I'm dying for you.
Jesus,
he's really hurt me, man.
Shamrock, shite.
He pulls a gun.
Not long left.
No, Billy.
I am gonna fucking fuck you.
Put it down, Wicked.
It's Father Murnaghan.
Calm down.
Eamon's vanished.
What the fuck?
Unnoticed, he's under Rosie's window. He lets himself in. Baffled, Mad Dog looks round for Eamon.
I am gonna fucking kill you! Rosie!
He goes looking for her. Downstairs, he opens the funeral parlour door.
No, you didn't really want me to die now, did you?
Oh, that's what I think of your bollocks!
I can't breathe.
Holding his groin, he slumps to the floor.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Jesus. Oh, baby. Huh? One side.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's coming.
Outside O'Sullivan's, a crowd gathers round Mad Dog Billy, Father Murnaghan and George. A police car arrives down the alley opposite, to the annoyance of Mad Dog Billy. Millicent arrives.
I'm his manager, let me try! Excuse me. Excuse me.
The police break down the front door. Rosie is sitting on the funeral parlour floor, legs spread-eagled, with Eamon kneeling, tending her. He looks up as the two policemen enter the room. The policemen smile at the sight and sound of the new arrival and remove their caps. Now an ambulance pulls away from O'Sullivan's.
Second twin's coming.
A twin?
What twin?
Well, it is a twin, you, Eamon. You really have spark for brains.
Oh, Jesus! Come on! We're going to cut to the hospital.
The main players disperse, leaving behind Frank, the traffic warden.
Excuse me, mister. You have a car?
All right. No,
today on the show, we're talking to men with no noodles.
The women need to learn to stop hating us and start pitying us.
Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, his bollocks are ours, right?
No, Friday, he's got to be ours.
Listen, Mondays, County Antrim, Wednesdays, County Londonderry, Fridays, Belfast, you can have the Border County.
At the hospital, Eamon's dad forces his way between Billy and Father Murnaghan and sits beside Millicent. Eamon's brother, Raymond, is on a talk show on the nearby TV.
What's a man supposed to do? Group hug.
Dad looks over Millicent's shoulder at her MFM diary.
Of course, I was the original. Fertile man.
A pause.
I love you, you love me. Good night.
Then Millicent gives him a sideways look. Now Eamon, holding a single large yellow flower, is sitting beside Rosie's hospital bed, on the other side of which are twin incubators. Eamon is pensive. Rosie stirs from her sleep and opens her eyes.
I love you, Eamon. But I can't take you back. There'll be other women wanting your help. And I know you, Eamon. You'll want to help them. And I can't live like that.
But if you love me, then...
Anguished now, Eamon stands outside the hospital room, looking through the glass-panelled door at his new family.
Twins?
Twins?
His father offers him a cigar. He takes it, and they light up. He looks through the glass panel again at Rosie, who has her back to him. He can't see the tears trickling down her cheeks onto her pillow. Eamon uses the hospital telephone.
Hello, can I speak to Dr. Johnson, please? Yes, I think it is important.
Jesus, Eamon.
It's the right thing to do. I love you. I love you. All three of you.
He kisses the twins in Rosie's arms. He's about to kiss Rosie, but collects his jacket and leaves.
Eamon?
Eamon walks the hospital corridor with a determined air, a man on a mission. He takes care not to disturb his friends and family, sleeping in the waiting area. Likewise, Mad Dog Billy and George in an adjacent area. But Billy stirs, opens his eyes, and gives pursuit. Eamon disappears round a distant corner. Billy appears at the opposite end of the corridor, dark, brooding, suspicious, and continues to stalk his prey. Billy bursts open a door and tries another, but it's locked. He bangs frantically on the glass panel.
Let me in! What the fuck are you doing?
It's a crying shame, Eamon. But it's your life.
Thanks, Dr. Johnson.
Scalpel?
On the operating theatre wall, displayed within the X-ray light box, there's a large photographic image of Dr. Johnson. In her arms, she's holding two bonny babies with ginger hair. Billy stares through the theatre door, stupefied. He staggers around and, shell-shocked, slumps to the floor beneath a board confirming the nature of Eamon's operation, a vasectomy. George now has caught up with him and looks concerned for Billy. Two adjacent doors swing open, revealing a corridor bathed in a brilliant white light, an invitation to enter an idealized world, a fantasy world, a utopia. Doors open on a genial, smiling Uncle Eugene extending a welcome. Rosie and Eamon sit up in bed, flanked by Eamon's dad and Uncle Eugene. Eamon's doting dad lifts one of the twins in the air. Now, a few months later, Eamon holds his boy child aloft. He lowers him, and the toddler stands alone in a vast white space without boundaries or definition. He's joined by his twin sister, and in increasing numbers, by other toddlers, all wearing just their nappies. But knowing that dreaming is true. Eamon and Rosie survey the troop of toddlers with contentment and pride. They kiss. Eamon stands alone, unable to contain his joy. He beams. The end.
Lonely in my silence, being without. now it's even time. Your kiss will be tender and sure. When it's even time, just like every time. In the even time, I love you as much as before.